Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church. It is really wonderful to be here with you this morning. I was part of the Redbird team. Thank you for your prayers. We got there safe and sound. We had a great week of work. We accomplished the jobs that they had for us and did a few extras along the way as well, and had a great time and made it all home safe and sound. Only a couple of minor Band-Aid injuries, so it was a great week. Thank you. Thank you. My name is Deacon Loretta Job. I'm a retired deacon who hangs out here doing life with all of you wonderful people at this church that seeks to know God, love God, and serve God. This morning, I'm going to remind you to please fill out your connection cards. You can do it either in the card that came in your bulletin. You can go online and do it. Sign in, let us know you're here. Also on those cards, you can find out many of the things that are going on here in addition to what's scrolling behind me on the announcements, and also out in the community room. You can check out all the announcements there. We also have prayer cards. If you or someone you know is in need of prayer, please, this is a praying congregation. I know it is a blessing. I felt your prayers while we were at Redbird, so please know that any prayers that you submit will indeed be prayed for by a number of folks here holding them in prayer. This morning we have Greg Geis, there he is, and Rose Bledsoe helping out with it. We also have the bells and the choir. Double whammy today, folks. You are in for a big treat. I have a few announcements for you this morning. If you haven't already left for Sunday school, please make sure you do that. The teachers are waiting downstairs for you. We have this new church photo directory app. You heard Pastor Lynn talk about it the other day. We are going to have some folks out in the community room if you need help getting it on your device. So fear not, we won't leave you in the lurch. I have been using it. I agree with Pastor Lynn. It's a fabulous thing. So please stop by if you're interested and talk to somebody out in the community room about that. Crop walk is today. If you are walking, could you raise your hand real quick? Because I know there are people who have not pledged money yet. So look around, people with their hands up. And if you would like to make a donation or if you'd like to walk, there is still time to be here today to do that. And I believe it begins at 2 o'clock. 1 o'clock, at 1 o'clock. Trunk or Treat is coming up on Wednesday, September 25th. You can decorate a trunk. I love the way they said that you could have a trunk. We all have trunks. Decorate your trunk, be here and see a lot of really wonderful kids in their costumes. Again, September 25th. Or just come and check out all the kids. And lastly, the Vina tailgate is this coming Thursday. Many of you have been there. We invite you to please come and support our Vina Dental Clinic. I'm not sure who's ahead this year. I wasn't told if Michigan or Michigan State. Michigan. Oh, State. Oh, State is ahead. Oh, okay. There's a divided household in the Smith family back there. So if you would like to support, if you cannot get tickets and go on Thursday evening, you want to support them, there's ways to do that online or see Deb or Jean Smith, and they can help you out with that. Those are all the announcements for today, so I'm going to ask you to please rise and sing our opening hymn 398, Jesus Calls Us. We're going to do all five verses, so get your voices ready.
Thank you. At this time, please let us join together in the opening prayer. Lord, you call us to reach beyond the desires of our daily lives in this world, to strive to do something greater in your name. Help us to recognize what is needed and how we can bring your vision for your people to life. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were placed and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you so much, Rose, for reading our scripture this morning. I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who calls us to give. Amen. Well, this is the month of October, and we're in the midst of a stewardship campaign about how God can take our gifts and multiply them to do incredible things in the world, to make a difference in Jesus' name. And I got to tell you, as I was looking into this scripture passage, there was a bit of shame that came over me as I was reading about the history of how churches and religious organizations used to do some fundraising. One of the things that I learned about as I was reading this passage is that those who constructed the temple built in them the treasury. You heard that word in the passage that Rose described. The treasury actually looked like a really deep metal box. So you can perhaps imagine this, perhaps a couple of feet deep, and people, one at a time, would go up and put their offering into this deep metal box. And the thing about it is, because different Roman coins were minted at different sizes, people would be sitting inside the room where people were making their offering, and they could judge how generous people were by the sound that the metal coins made when they hit the bottom of the treasury box. Now, can you imagine just sort of sitting there in your high chair listening to the ching, ching? And people would just sit there like, oh, they've got more money than that. They probably should have given more. And just judging person after person, and it wasn't just anybody, that was like the religious priest sitting there offering commentary and feedback and sort of gazing deeply into the souls of people, judging them by their generosity. It says in the passage that there were multiple wealthy people that came in and made quite a show of their demonstrated generosity. They would walk up to the treasury and drop big coins in and, oh, look at me, I have given generously, I have made a difference. Because in this particular time, the church was in the midst of a temple refurbishment. We would call it a capital campaign these days. They were redoing the roof and painting the walls and refreshing a bunch of spaces. Maybe they had a library that they were trying to redo and put screens up on there and put Zoom. No, I'm just kidding. I'm serious, but I'm just kidding. And in the midst of this work, there was a lot of judgment going on. People were being evaluated on their faith based on how much they were giving. And up pops this woman who walks forward to the front of the temple, and instead of making a major noise, a big splash, a ginormous gift, and walking off popping her collar like, look at what I've just done, she took the last two pennies that she had to her name and she dropped it into the treasury. And Jesus gathered all of the disciples up, and I just imagine, right, there might have been other people in the room who are like, oh, she gave nothing. And Jesus said, no, 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 this woman gave it all. A lot of pastors have used this passage as a way of encouraging people to give all they can. In fact, I was just talking to our resident Wesley scholar, Dr. Vern Hoschel, about what I might say about this passage, and he said, well, just look at Wesley. He said, earn all you can, save all you can, and most of us love those two pieces, right? Those two pieces of advice ring true to us. We ought to work hard. We ought to create as big an income as we possibly can. We ought to save as much of it as we can. But then he has this other piece that most of us get a little uncomfortable with when he says, so that you can give as much of it as possible away. A little over a year ago, I got a phone call at the church to go visit one of our members. Perhaps some of you remember Mark Wood. And at that particular time, he was at the end stages of a long battle with cancer where he had given absolutely everything he could to clinical trial after clinical trial after clinical trial. And I remember getting the phone call, John, I think I need you to come over to the house. I think this is the end of my journey. And so I went over there preparing to, you know, have a pastoral conversation with Mark. And so I came into his house and I sat down and we started talking for a brief period of time about how he was doing and how he came to that decision and whether or not he was comfortable and, you know, secure with this being the end of his journey. And he said very quickly, I mean, I think I was only in his house for about 3 minutes before he said, John, enough about that. I actually didn't call you over here for consultation and consolement. Really what I want to talk to you about is I have a couple of things, important things, that I want to give away, and I need you to make sure that they go to the places that I want them to go. And then we spent an hour and a half talking about how to finish the race well. He wanted to give everything he had essentially away to other people, and it was inspiring to listen to him because in his last hour, it wasn't about him, it was about everybody else. I have to admit, when I read this particular story about the widow coming forward, giving her last two pennies, there's a part of me, and my heart kind of breaks reading this story, because I know that it's sort of been used to justify this kind of like guilt-ridden kind of ask for resources in the church, right? Maybe we ought to give absolutely everything we have away, And I don't know that that's necessarily what it means to be biblically faithful, to be generous, I think is what Jesus is calling us to do, to examine thoughtfully the resources that we have, to think about where they came from, and maybe in some way consider how our resources might be a blessing to somebody else. Just after this passage, Jesus reminds everybody and standing inside the temple that a day will come when not a single stone will be standing on the other one. And those two widows' pennies, the two pennies that she threw into the treasury, were an incredible act of faithfulness. But the curious thing is, literally right after this, Jesus turns to the disciples and says, you know, it's not really worth it to give to a massive capital campaign. At some point, this temple will be destroyed, and not one stone will be laid upon another. It's interesting because he praised her for her faithfulness and then said at the end of the day, it's probably not worth it to give to this particular cause because in some period of time it won't be here anymore. But I think Jesus appreciated that this woman made an incredible gift of generosity, a sacrificial gift that made a difference for her. It was an act of faithfulness for her to be able to take everything she had, and she felt convicted that that was the place that those resources needed to go, and she came forward and she made the noise inside the metal box, and she walked away feeling hopefully fulfilled and satisfied with where her gift was going. Just recently, I went to our church mailbox and I saw a letter from a local attorney, which always, like, as a pastor, you're like, from the law offices of so-and-so, such-and-such, and I'm like, oh dear. That's not always the kind of letter you want to see. And then I opened it up, and inside of it was a copy of a member of ours' living will and testament. And I promise not to tell too many details, but I was so inspired by the way that this particular testament was written out. First, there were five causes that this individual wanted to make sure that their gifts went to, each a modest amount to each one of those five different causes. And then afterwards, they had set up some sort of trust fund, which I need Sherry to come back to describe all of these things, you know, essentially how the finances all work. But essentially, she had created a trust fund that every month would give $2,000 to her son, so that he can continue to have those resources until he either decides he no longer needs them or until the fund runs out. And at the moment that her son passes, all of the rest of the resources were to be given to First United Methodist Church of Brighton in Whitmore Lake. And I found myself thinking in the midst of that moment, what a beautiful thought process. All the resources that I have, I want to make sure that these five organizations that I care about are blessed right away when I pass. The next one is to take care of my living family members, the people who I raised and cared for through the course of my life. And then at the point that they determine that they're solvent, that they're okay, that they can make it on their own, or at the point that they pass, any remaining resources in the trust can go to an organization, to a church, to God that I cared about. And I found myself thinking, that's almost a living example of this woman who comes forward in the temple and takes her last two pennies and puts them into the treasury. And Jesus gathers all the disciples and says, take a look at this incredible act of faithfulness. In the midst of our daily lives, I'm sure around this particular time in the season, all of a sudden, your mailboxes get filled with all kinds of invitations to respond to worthy causes all around the world. And maybe some of us at the moment were like, oh, what do they want? As we tear open an envelope and we read through the invitation or the solicitation to some sort of generous offering gift. And I'm sure that if you haven't received those yet, you're probably about to receive all of those things, those invitations to give. And throughout the course of this month of October, I hope that you'll take a moment to just think about the question that we've asked over the last 3 years, really. God, where do I feel called to give? Will you help show me where I feel called to be generous? And I'm here to tell you, I actually don't care where those resources go. You're welcome to give them to causes that you feel, you know, particularly moved by. Maybe there's a group of folks that you have a heart for, and every, you know, opportunity you give to that particular cause, but I hope you're able to find some sort of lane of giving. Because in American culture these days, we're taught that so much of our value is tied up in how much we have. Perhaps it's even tied to a particular number that comes in a statement once a quarter or once a month. And the reason why I give is because it saves me from that trap of thinking that my entire worth or identity is caught up in the value of an investment portfolio or in a net worth, number. The reason why I give is because it constantly reminds me that every resource that I've ever received was God's in the beginning, and by God's grace, by the time I exit this world, it's going to be God's again at some other point. And one of the most humbling things in the world is Lindsay and I are both pastors, which sometimes I jokingly say like, that means we produce almost nothing, like we don't go to the marketplace and sell things, we're not farmers, we don't grow things, and that means that every dollar that Lindsay and I will ever have to be able to buy groceries or to go out and send our kids to college or anything else is the result of people's generosity, which is an incredibly humbling thing for us to know that every dollar that we ever use as a family is the result of people giving generously out of the resources that God has entrusted them. And so in the midst of this season, we sent out an invitation for folks to give, and part of that is just a way of allowing us to plan as a church what ministries we'll be able to fund in the coming year and what opportunities we'll be able to say yes to. So if you receive that in the mail, we encourage you to just take a moment and fill that out. And if this is your first Sunday with us, that'll probably be a bit of a surprise to you, but there are sheets in the back that folks can fill out and send back in, and it helps us create a plan for what ministries we're going to do in the coming year. And I'm here to tell you, I encourage you, actually, I implore you to take a moment at some point during the month of October and make a plan for where you feel like God is calling you to share your resources and your money. Because at the end of the day, I think we all have something to give, and it doesn't matter whether it's a penny and you're walking forward proudly with this gift in hand saying, God, this is the thing that I have to give this year. Because I believe that Jesus is still up in heaven looking down over all of us and saying, like, do you see this individual? This is a faithful gift. This is a gift that keeps on giving. Every gift is a blessing. And thanks be to God for the extravagant generosity of generations of faithful people. Amen.
To you, oh Lord, I offer thank you, Adult Choir, for that beautiful music. And John, thank you for your wonderful message. It was so good to hear Mark Wood referenced. I don't know if you know this, but even John referenced him at the end. He was volunteering at CAS almost up to just a couple of weeks before he passed. And some of you may remember that Mark Wood did this scripture lesson today as a drama. He was Mr. Moneybags, rolling, came down the aisle, and he was dropping money here and there and everywhere. And so it's a very appropriate that he was messaged today that during that drama, someone came in and dropped two coins in there. And John referenced the temple, and I've been reading about King David, and at the end of his life, he's gathering resources to build the temple, and he gives out of his own personal treasury as an example to others. And there were three words that I remember in Chronicles that really exemplify giving. In this 29:1-9, I think it was. And it's willingly, freely, and wholeheartedly giving. Stick with me. And now as we do enter into a time of prayer, please, at the end of the service, take time to tie a knot on this quilt and say a prayer for Ruth Ann. And now, won't you please join me in an attitude of prayer? Good, loving, and merciful God in heaven, we come with grateful hearts to worship you. The scriptures remind us of your glory as creator of everything we know in the beginning. Heavenly Father, through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, you invited us to be your people. Lord, why did evil rise up this week in the murder of unarmed civilians in Israel? Why were some people able to celebrate atrocities committed by terrorists against this small nation? Lord, comfort, heal, strengthen, and grant wisdom to the people of Israel in their time of tragedy. Lord, comfort, heal, and strengthen those on our prayer list and those in our hearts. Bless these prayer quilts so the recipient feels wrapped in love when she puts the quilt on. Help us share the life and light that shines through our darkness and can't be overcome. Hear our silent prayers of confession and petition as we present our anxieties, cares, and concerns to you. We are grateful, knowing every good and perfect gift comes from our Heavenly Father. Let us use the gifts you have entrusted with us to the best of our abilities in your service. Let us be cheerful givers who decide in our hearts to sow generously and reap generously. Lord, multiply our faith to trust only in you, who richly provides us with everything we need. Encourage us to give our time, possessions, and love as freely as we have received them. Help our light shine before others so they see good deeds that glorify our Father in heaven. As Christ's church, hear our voices in unison as we say the words Jesus taught us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
For leading us in prayer. And at this time, we'd like to invite up Rich and Mary Ray, who are going to be sharing a stewardship testimony. And so please welcome Rich and Mary as they come forward to share their story of why they gave. Amen.
Good morning. As you are well aware now, the name for this campaign is Multiply. And it's my belief that it's very appropriate because we've been in this church for a long time and seen multiplication going on for a long time, as you can see just looking around. We first came here about 45 years ago now, so we're one of the old people, although I'm looking at some other people that were here. We were younger then, actually. But I'm looking at people that were members here 45 years ago when we first came. We first came for our kids, you know, where our son was 3 years old and our daughter was 6 months old, so we thought, well, we should do it for the kids and come to church. And we came to the, but I mean, it's become much, we've stayed here and been really involved in it. It's turned out to be so much more in our lives than what we initially thought of. We've been talking about sharing and everything in the congregation with others. On our first visit, when we came here, it was, as I look back, I see multiplication going on because we were in what was the old sanctuary, now the community room. This was the site where we're sitting right now was the site of a couple of rooming houses, as I recall, some old rickety houses. So we came in there on a Sunday morning at early service with our two little kids and walked down the aisle, sat down on the right-hand side, right along there. And everybody else was coming into this service, fairly small, and sitting on the other side. Not taking a shower and everything. I didn't really have to know what was going on. But we were sitting there by ourselves, and everybody's sitting on the other side. And it's kind of like, well, we can't get up and move. So we sat there, and once the service got started, Dick Cheatham, who was the pastor at the time, came down during the community time and explained to us that the service had been small as the early service, so they had everybody sit on one side, so they're all kind of grouped together. And that was coincidentally the first Sunday that they allowed people to sit on the other side. But everybody, as you know, sit in your same place. I mean, I'm always wearing that. These people pushed us out of our second row seat, but we're now our four rows back. But I mean, everybody has their assigned seat, self-assigned seat in here. So we kind of disrupted that. But it was the example of multiplication. There's more people there. So as we came more involved in the church, we saw more of the multiplying going on.
Dick Cheatham was the first pastor for us, and he instituted a small group, and there was, you know, several of us that came to go to a Bible study. And after that was all over, he presented to us, would we like to have a Bible study in our house? Could we, you know, carry on with that? And we did, and actually the Bible study went on for close to 28 years. You know, there was a lot of Bible passages and chapters that we read, and lots of sharing and laughter and a lot of praying too. And you just got to know people on a more intimate level than just to say hi to them. And small groups are just intricately important to the congregation. So we also, in those 28 years, every time somebody came, we had popcorn. So you can imagine there was a lot of popcorn over 28 years. And the church began to multiply. We began to fill the sanctuary, and we decided, the congregation and the pastor, that we needed to expand. So, as Rich said, there was It had been a nursery school, and then it turned into like a rooming house next door to us. And much hand-wringing because we didn't have the money to buy it, but we stepped out in faith, and we did it. And then things really started to grow. Dick Cheatham started the campaign, and Ben Bonzak, he brought the campaign to fruition. And we just saw the number of our children growing in the churches. After the church was built, we still needed more rooms for our Sunday schools. And a bunch of the men here, which was the predecessor to our Men with Tools, which meets every Tuesday to do things around the church, they got busy and they finished off our basement and made a lovely place for our Sunday school.
We saw multiplication in the areas of mission, and they got much more active. I think when Gil Miller was here, I know he got me involved. I coincidentally retired and got much more involved in a lot of mission trips, and we did Rio Bravo, and the Redbird group just got back last week.
Last night, was it?
Mm-hmm. Ooh, so yeah, so they just got back, and that's been I've been on that trip, but it's a great trip, and a lot of mission activities going on. And local missions and multiplied vena clinic, for instance, is something that started with a couple of dentists in our congregation who had a vision for what was our former parsonage to multiply its value and become a dentistry clinic. And you look at this building that we're in right now, it's not quite filled yet from COVID, but it's an example of the expansion of our campus all over. And then also, you know, a few years ago, Pastor Sherry kind of led us in a push to pay off the mortgage so that we own it free and clear now. So
each of us has our hopes to multiply depending on where we are in our spiritual journey. They all translate to having resources to transform more lives. This is a transforming place where we can see dreams multiplied to truly positive ways. It just needs our faith, our commitment of time, talents, and resources to make this happen. Think about what your role in the church can play by multiplying your passions. How can we get the resources to multiply the activities and address the church and community with our passions? With your support, we can multiply our work for Jesus. For isn't Jesus why we have multiplied?
Sorry. For those of you type A's, I got that. I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward this morning to receive our offering. You've heard what amazing things have gone on here and continue to go on here to multiply God's love for all of us and for us to be able to take that love and take it out into the world and multiply it some more. Continue to give, whether it's giving of your voice, giving of your talent, ringing bells, whether it's putting your 2 cents in the plate. Please know that all gifts are blessed by God.
Thank you.
One more quick word about Mark Wood. Some of us remember him as a gracious and patient coach of the women's softball team, along with Dave Moore many years ago. Lord God, accept and bless the offerings we bring this morning. Help us to use them wisely to build disciples for you. Please guide and direct us this week as we think about what we are able to give in your honor. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
As we close this service, I just want to add a word onto the prayer that Greg shared earlier, and thank you so much for lifting up Israel and the plight of Israelis and Palestinians around the world. Pastor Lindsay and I, you know, made the decision with the consultation of other folks who are going on our Holy Land trip to cancel our trip next January, as did our bishop. And this last week, he wrote a beautiful piece that I encourage you to take a moment to read. You can find it on the Michigan Conference webpage or on Facebook if you're a Facebook user. I'm sure it's other places. But it was a beautiful piece just teasing out how complex the world is, where there's violence. And then I saw a piece by Mitch Albom that I read this morning talking about how every life that's lost is somebody's loved one, and that there's an empty seat at far too many tables as we gather here for worship this morning. There are folks who have had to say goodbye to the people that they love and care about the most. And so as you depart from this place, I pray that you would carry with you out into the world a hope for peaceful resolution, a hope to the end of global violence, a hope for the transformation of the world so that someday, as we prayed earlier in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, that someday the earth would look a little bit more like heaven does. And until that day, I hope that we continue to find people in the world to go about building God's kingdom here on earth. Go out with that challenge to make the world a better place. Go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.